Blog Talk Radio.
All right, everybody. Welcome, welcome. It's Wednesday, the 10th of May, 2017. 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time here on the left coast. On the east coast, it's 9 p.m. You guys in the middle, figure it out. Take a look at your clock. It's Guerrilla Radio time. We're going to have a little fun show today. We're going to talk about Comey getting fired, and we're going to talk about partisan politics. Oh, yes, politics, politics, politics. I should be joined shortly by my lovely wife and co-host and co-owner with me here in Truth Emerges Radio, the wonderful, incomparable, and lovely Liberty Lisa Thomas. Ah, she even took my last name. We're going to roll the intro, get into the show, have some fun. Open lines, if you want to call in and participate, your input is always welcome. 347-855-8301. Press 1. That lets me know you're in the queue, you want to participate. Again, open lines. Call in number is 347-855-8301. Press 1. Join the roundtable and enjoy the show. Be back after the intro. Yeah, what better time than now? I don't know what the heck happened with the intro. It was all weird and in and out and staticky. And maybe our friends here at Blog Talk Radio can, work on their system here. The owners of Blog Talk Radio, shout out to you. What the heck has been going on? Well, welcome to Truth Emerges Radio, guys, and Guerrilla Radio. This is Austin. I'm waiting for Liberty Lisa to call in. We're going to dive in. We're going to start out with why Comey was fired. I got some information here. This is from the lamestream media, so you can take from it what you will. I'm going to start out with an article from the Business Insider here. The Deputy Attorney General laid out why James Comey was fired. This article from Pamela Engel. A memo from the U.S. Deputy Attorney General explained that FBI Director James Comey was fired because the FBI's reputation and credibility had suffered substantial damage. After Comey usurped the Attorney General's authority had announced that an investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails should be closed without prosecution. The White House announced Tuesday that President Donald Trump had fired James Comey on the basis of recommendations of Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. Sinus there. And Attorney General Jeff Sessions. In a memo to Sessions, Rosenstein laid out the reasoning for firing Comey. Rosenstein said that over the past year, the FBI's reputation and credibility have suffered substantial damage. that has affected the entire Department of Justice. I cannot defend the director's handling of the conclusion of the investigation of Secretary Clinton's emails, and I do not understand his refusal to accept the nearly universal judgment that he was mistaken, Rosenstein stated. Almost everyone agrees that the director made serious mistakes. It is one of the few issues that unites people of diverse perspectives. He pointed to Comey's July announcement of the FBI's view that no charges are appropriate into the Justice Department's investigation into then presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server while she served as Secretary of State. The Deputy Attorney General said Comey was wrong to usurp the Attorney General's authority by going public with the FBI's recommendation. It is not the function of the director to make such an announcement, Rosenstein wrote. At most, the director should have said the FBI had completed its investigation and presented its findings to federal prosecutors. The director now defends his decision by asserting that he believed Attorney General Loretta Lynch had a conflict. But the FBI director is never empowered to supplant federal prosecutors and assume command of the Justice Department. Comey told the Senate Judiciary Committee last week that Lynch's tarmac meeting with President Bill Clinton in late June caused him to worry that the Department of Justice leadership could not credibly complete the investigation and decline prosecution without grievous damage to the American people's confidence in the justice system. And that link is the last link put in the show promo. It shows for immediate release on May 9, 2017. This is from the White House Office of the Press Secretary. The statement from the press secretary is as quoted. Today, President Donald J. Trump informed FBI Director James Comey that he has been terminated and removed from office. President Trump acted based on the clear recommendations of both Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein and Attorney General Jeff Sessions. The FBI is one of our nation's most cherished and respected institutions, and today will mark a new beginning for our crown jewel of law enforcement, said President Trump. A search for a new permanent FBI director will begin immediately. So there you have it. That is pretty much from the horse's mouth. Let me bring in the wonderful and lovely Liberty Lisa. There she is.
Hi, husband.
Hey, wife, how are you doing?
Good. I'm eating quinoa.
That stuff's gross.
It is not gross. You are such a little wuss when it comes to eating. He's so particular.
That stuff is gross.
It's like rice.
Quinoa. Next
thing
you know, you'll be telling me that you're going to put some kale in it and cilantro.
Ooh, yum. Man, that sounds good.
So,
actually, I like little bits of kale.
Yuck. Come on, you do not.
Like peppering something with little bits is okay. Cilantro, I could eat that by the handful.
So what did you think of the statement released by the Trumpster based on recommendations of Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein and Attorney General Jeff Sessions? Isn't that a couple of guys that used to be players in Never mind. Those gangster banksters, that's just strictly coincidence. We all know that Trump is draining the swamp.
Actually, you know what? You know, there hasn't been another president that they fought this hard. Not in our lifetime. You know, they've thrown millions of dollars at defaming him, at discrediting every move that he makes. That just doesn't happen if you're the controlled guy. Now, I do believe there are some people on his staff that are controlled, and I believe that's how they're trying to get to him. That's how they're trying to manipulate him. But I also think Trump's a smart guy. I know he doesn't come off that way, but I know he is. And he's gonna turn around and get back control of things. I just know it.
Okay. I'm glad that you have such faith in it. So what do you think about the statement? The FBI is one of our nation's most cherished and respected institutions, and today will mark a new beginning for our crown jewel of law enforcement, said President Trump.
Pukey puke. I think somebody wrote that statement for him because, you know, his style would be like, you know, FBI, they're lying. You know, he's a straight shooter. Somebody else is trying to polish up what he's saying. And he's following the advice because he's been lambasted in the media and he's trying to tone it down. But he's going to figure out pretty soon they're not just trying to tone him down, they're trying to water him down. And once he figures that out, he's going to cut the cords and be like, later. So I think, and I didn't vote for Trump. I'm not whatever. I'm not into politicians. The only reason I like him and support him is because I believe that God helps him to get elected for a specific purpose, for a specific time, and for a specific place. And I think that we're in the end times right now in America, and I believe that and this isn't hard to believe. I believe that Donald Trump is going to be instrumental in the judgment of God coming onto America, and whether that means, you know, nuclear war or whatever, things are going to get ugly here, and I believe that Donald Trump's going to kind of like blaze trails for that.
Well, let me ask you something, since we're on the subject of God and judgment. So you believe that God is going to pass judgment on the people, even though it's the corrupt government that is doing all these evil things, so the people take the hit?
The corrupt government couldn't be doing all these things if it weren't for God's judgment. What happens is the government gets more out of control and things start happening more and more oppressive to the people in direct relation to the sin of the nation. It's kind of like when you sin, the blood that's spilt cries out to God, and it says that the land itself will you know, reject the sin. So as sins pile up and as sins up, and it allows more and more of this to happen, the only way of changing that.
You have to put the phone by your mouth. I can't hear you.
It is by my mouth.
Okay, because you're fading in and out.
Now
I can hear you.
Well, I don't know. I think I need to get a new phone, honey. Like, I've been having a lot of people text.
This will be the sixth phone you've had since I've had this phone.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying that you are terrible with phones. I don't know what it is. What are you doing to them? Phones do not like you.
It is so true. I don't know what the deal is. But yes, indeed, I'm having problems where, you know, all of a sudden people can hear me, then all of a sudden they can't. Then it goes back in, then it goes back out. And it's irritating.
Uh-huh.
That's an extra expense, but I'm gonna have to bite the bullet pretty soon here.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll let you do your trip. You're going to make another trip and go make
right.
go, you're going to go make some more money.
Make some money, honey.
Making money, stacking Federal Reserve slave notes. Yay.
Because we all
Yay.
Know that money isn't real. Money
well,
is not real.
See, a lot of people misinterpret that Bible verse. It's not money is the root of all evil. It's love of money is the
Absolutely.
Root of all evil.
Absolutely.
And everyone misinterprets that because
yep.
money is a tool. And I
yep.
mean, you can use, well, we don't really have money. We should say fiat currency because that's what we have now. Fiat currency can be used for good and evil. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah. Right. I mean, you know, it takes money to do ministry. You know, if you want to go, you know, help somebody pay their rent or, you know. So definitely money's still in play right now. As long as there's a cash system, however, it's going to become cashless. That's the whole goal of the new world order is to have one world monetary system, one world government, one world leader. Everything's like kowtowing to the United Nations and – You know, that was what was exciting to me also about Donald Trump is he seemed against the globalist agenda. We'll see. He's definitely being influenced right now, so we'll see. We'll see. We'll see.
He just a couple weeks ago backtracked on saying that you know, he was a nationalist and globalism was a scourge. And then a year to the day later, he says, I'm a nationalist and a globalist. That's like saying I'm a communist and a sovereign individual. It makes
well, no
sense. They're diametrically
because, well,
different.
Not necessarily. It's kind of like me. You know, there's some things that I'm far right on. There's some things I'm far left on. I think everybody's allowed to be something besides, you know, painting them into a box.
Yeah, but you're talking
labels.
Two completely different things. Oh, geez. You're talking about two completely different things. The definition of a nationalist is a person who advocates political independence for a country, and the adjective is relating to nationalism or nationalism. Now, if you want to look at the definition of globalism, it's the exact opposite. You can't be both.
Yeah.
Globalism is the operation or planning of economic and foreign policy on a global basis.
Well, actually, you know, he could be for a few globalist agendas.
Where are you at?
Sorry. He could be for a few globalist agendas and then be for a few national, you know, agendas. That's what I think he means.
Oh, my gosh. They're diametrically opposed ideologies. That's like saying I want to be a free slave. It's an oxymoron. It makes no sense.
No, that's not true because you know, national. You could be nationalist on some things. Like, oh, I think it's strong. It's smart to have strong borders. I think it's really smart to, you know, put America first and pump up our jobs and blah, blah, blah. But as far as global stuff, I agree we need to do something about whatever, healthcare, or we need to do something about, you know, whatever global thing he agrees with, that doesn't affect what we're doing here nationally. You can do both. I mean, you always say don't I don't like labels. Don't paint me in a corner. So you can't have it both ways. You can't sit there and, you know, tell other people that they can't put a label on you and that you're all things. And then when Donald Trump says something, you're like, it doesn't work. You have to be one thing. You can't,
it's not logically consistent.
That's like
globalism is open borders and nationalism is closed borders. But in a way that's a bad analogy because that's kind of a bad analogy. I strike that. I take that back. I'm putting that on rewind for you and the listeners. That's a bad analogy. I'm trying to think of an analogy as like, yeah, I want to be a slave, but I want to be free.
But that's not true either, because if you're a nationalist, you're a slave, and if you're a globalist, you're a slave. It's just a different kind of slave. So that's not true. Right? I'm sorry, you know, just because you're awesome, Thomas, and we all know that you're brilliant and we love you and you've got a lot of wonderful, intelligent, you know, thoughtful opinions. However, you know, there's not the blanket approval for everything you say. That I disagree with. I think that you can have as many opinions as you want to have. You can be as diverse as you want to be. You fight for your diversity. I fight for my diversity. So let him be diverse. You just hate him because he's Donald Trump. You hate every politician. And you're the one who you're waiting for him to fall. And so is every you know, anarchist and person out there. They're like, oh, yeah, he's just like, he's controlled opposition. It's the same, it's the same, it's the same. But we have never, ever, ever seen. We've met. What was that?
Wait,
what
I'll
was
play
that?
It again just for you, honey. Listen.
You're fired.
Hey, James Comey, you're fired. Where are you at?
I don't give Trump a free pass. I don't think that he's perfect. I don't.
I'm not expecting perfection either. But the problem is with the Trumpster and all these liberals that want to get him impeached and want him to step down. They don't even realize who's next in line. Do you know who's next in line to be president if Donald Trump steps down?
Oh God. Well, that'd be his
vice president, right? Correct, Pence. And see what these liberals don't even understand, and they're the reason they're cutting their own throat. We're going to talk a little bit about partisan politics, and then we'll get back into Comey being fired. We're going to flip flop the two because they're kind of intertwined. They don't understand that Pence is actually really a conservative, and Trump is actually, in reality, is a very liberal, almost socialist populist. Trump is not a conservative. Pence is. These people that are calling for the Trump to step down and this and that, They're going to be in a worse position with Pence.
Yeah.
Sometimes liberals aren't too bright. They're really not.
Well, sometimes neocons aren't too bright either.
This is true there. Yeah.
Neither side is.
Well, yeah, that was my post of the day.
I hate it with either side, honey, that they're like, oh, Trump is amazing. He's perfect. He can do no wrong. That makes me want to vomit. Yeah, but I also hate the other side that's like, he's a politician. They're all corrupt. They're all controlled. All of them. Everyone. It's a puppet. Hate him. Everything's a lie. You know, it's like there's got to be a balance in this stuff. And, yeah, I would agree that we've had puppet after puppet after puppet. But a kingdom divided against itself will surely fall. If this kingdom of these international banksters, the New World Order, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call it, if this kingdom is fighting against itself, it's stupid. It's dumb. They've been fighting Trump. They've been trying to take away from him his presidency from day one. It doesn't happen if he's bought and he's on their side. He's a wild card. They don't like him.
Lisa, Pence is more conservative. Wait, Pence is actually a true conservative. Trump is not. Let me state my piece and then I'll turn it back over to you. This is what's called bread and circuses for the people, and to keep us divided and to keep us fighting amongst each other. This is the old left-right paradigm game. Believe me, Trump, the powers that be want Trump in power more than they would want Pence in power. Trump is easier controlled. He's an easier to control. He is in bed with the banking, the Zionists, the cartel. The Zionists have a firm grip on him. Look at how he covets his daughter, and look at his son-in-law, Kushner. Look at all these. Trump is more controllable to them than Pence would be. And this is all a smokescreen. This is all a big dog and pony show. This is all a sleight of hand. This is a Chris Angel illusion. That's all this is. They've got who they want, believe me. They've got who they want. And they have him under control. Now you can rebut me. Or not. Where'd Lisa go? All right. Well, I know who this is. This is Brandon Pettit. We're going to bring him in for a few minutes. Now, stay on topic, Brandon. We're talking about Comey being fired and partisan politics today.
Oh, thanks, man. I've got something to say about the point you just gleaned up about Trump is bad. There's people I've been talking to at different voice awards at different websites. They don't like Trump either. They feel the same way as you do. And about Comey being fired, they didn't call me bad. They didn't help me cover up Hillary Clinton's crimes.
Yeah, well, Comey, allegedly Comey was covering for Clinton, and I don't know, who knows, maybe he didn't want to end up suicided. I mean, you know, might end up with a couple bullets in the back of his head, you know. Suicide. Maybe he wants to live a while. I don't know. I don't have all the answers, but there's definitely just the timing doesn't sit well with me. They should have canned him from the beginning if they wanted to can him. I think that it might be a little smoke and mirrors distraction that something else may be coming up the pike. But what do I know?
I think we don't know everything, Austin. I never do. I'm still warning, but We know basic rational thinking, that's what matters.
Right. Well, yeah, this is talk radio. This is guerrilla radio. Again, I am just putting forth, this is my opinions. This is what we do on talk radio. And if you want to call and participate, you can too. 347-855-8301. Press 1. Let me know you're in the queue. You're always welcome to participate, as my good friend Brandon Pettit is doing right now. But I wanted to get into another article about Comey. This one right here. This is from CNN. Okay. Sources. This is what they were saying from CNN. Sources close to Comey say there were two reasons why the FBI director was fired. This is from Jake Tapper. He's an anchor and chief Washington correspondent for CNN. He said, there are two reasons why President Donald Trump fired James Comey, according to a source close to the now former FBI director. Number one, Comey never provided the president with any assurance of personal loyalty. Number two, the fact that the FBI's investigation into possible Trump team collusion with Russia in the 2016 election was accelerating.
Oh, what this is
right? Yeah, I know. Well, we had to, you know that from the Clinton News Network or the, you know, the counterfeit news network, you know that the Russians did it, or the Russians involved, or Putin, they're going to blame him. But to finish the story, the official White House version of what happened is that Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, fresh on the job, another Zionist, imagine that, wrote a memo expressing concern about the way Comey had handled the Hillary Clinton email investigation. The mounting evidence suggests Comey was actually fired because of the Russian investigation. Rosenstein, in his memo, faulted Comey for being unfair to Clinton when he announced his conclusion last July that the case against Clinton should be closed without prosecution. He also criticized Comey for holding a press conference in which he released derogatory information about the subject of a declined criminal investigation. The official version of the firing is that President took the advice of Deputy Attorney General, who ever since Attorney General Sessions' recusal oversees the director of the FBI. The whole thing is very simple. You're trying to make it very complex, White House counselor Kellyanne Conway said on CNN Tuesday morning. This is a president who saw the FBI director had lost the public confidence of Republicans and Democrats. But we know from his public statements that Trump does not share any of Rosenstein's concerns that Comey was unfair to Clinton. In fact, he faulted Comey for the opposite, for not criminally charging Clinton. In addition to the fact, Rosenstein's memo was dated May 9, Tuesday, but White House officials tell CNN the president had been considering firing Comey since he took office, but most intensely for the last week before Tuesday's fateful decision. Comey testified May 3rd to the Senate Judiciary Committee about the Clinton email investigation and Russia election investigation. There was some way for us to see what was on the president's mind in real time last week. Oh, right, there's Twitter. Let's look at president's late-night tweet storm of Twitter May 2nd, just before Comey's testimony. FBI Director Comey was the best thing that ever happened to Hillary Clinton in that he gave her a free pass for many bad deeds, the phony. Trump Russia story was an excuse used by the Democrats as a justification for losing the election. Perhaps Trump just ran a great campaign. Moreover, the letter the president wrote to Comey firing him includes zero references to the Clinton investigation and one big one about the Russia investigation. The White House does not seem to like any questions about this. If you want to question the timing of when the president fires, when he hires, it's appropriate, said Conway Wednesday. He'll do it when he wants to, just like he fired FBI Director Comey when he was faced with evidence that was unignorable. Except, of course, that evidence about how Comey had treated the Clinton investigation was quite ignorable for the president for more than 3 months after he took office or until he needed a reason to fire him. One other point to be questioned has to do with the role of Sessions, who officially removed himself from the Russia investigation as it related to U.S. political campaign after it became clear he had not been forthcoming about his meetings during the presidential campaign with the Russian ambassador to the U.S., Sergei Kislyak. Still, he cited his own ties to the Trump campaign as the reason for his recusal. I have now decided to recuse myself from any existing or future investigations of any matter relating in any way to the campaigns for President of the United States, Sessions said back in March. Except the recusal, oddly, does not appear to have been in effect when Sessions forwarded the letter from his deputy, Rosenstein, to the president and separately Comey to be fired. And it is not apparent effect now, as we're told Sessions is leading the search for Comey's replacement. So, more, a little bit more hypocrisy. Let me see if Lisa's back with me. There she is.
I've
There's
got
my wonderful
to say.
Wife.
Hi,
what
honey.
You got to
I'm
say,
sorry,
Brandon?
Oh, I've got something. Wait, did you know CNN News just reported that monkeys was driving, coming with army tanks to come to invade New York City?
What?
That was funny. That's how stupid the mainstream media is.
Well, yeah, we all know the we all know the about the mainstream media. So I'm glad I have Lisa back with me. I'm glad I have Lisa back with me. Are you there?
Hi.
There she
is.
Honey. Oh, you're loud and clear too. I can actually hear you.
Oh, good. Well,
I don't.
My phone was down to 3%, and it started cutting out. So I had to.
So you're plugged in and ready to roll now.
Yeah, sorry. I've been running errands all day. I didn't realize my phone was this low. So I apologize.
No need to apologize. You're right. You get a free pass.
You get a
free pass.
Hey, Austin, guess what I've been doing on Facebook? I've been spamming the hell out of it with fake stories, making fun of the media. That was funny as heck,
right,
wasn't it?
Yeah, but your memes are too busy. Too busy.
They're too busy, though, Brandon. You need to slow down and write, like, half the words and half the pictures.
Well,
just being funny, Lisa, that you're tweeting?
It's funny, but there's too much on it. So it makes you have a headache.
That's what I'm trying to do, Bob. Everybody. I'll put it to the NSA saying, what the heck? This guy's literally insane. But it's
yeah.
NBC News just reported that the Grand Canyon is made out of brown sugar. That was a good one. Oh, just because we're CNN and we're NBC, you should believe the story's true automatically just because we said so, because we the elite and we are God. Yeah.
Well, Brandon, we all know that the lamestream media is a controlled apparatus that is responsible for basically spewing propaganda. We haven't had a truly free press in the United States probably since the early 1800s. It's been a long time, Lisa. Aren't you glad that we come out here and we just put it out there, don't we, Lisa?
I know. Well, you know, for those of you who know anything about Austin and I, we've been dating now we're married now, but we were dating for like 4 years, I guess. And
right.
Two and a third. I've been living out here with him in Las Vegas, and before that, it was just online. We were just, you know, I was in Colorado and he was in Las Vegas, and we were just both doing blog talk, you know, and we ended up doing a show together, and that's what brought us together. We've talked every single day since. I mean, it was just instantaneous camaraderie, and we just became a big part of each other's life. I told him, I'll never marry you. You're just not the right guy for me. Why was I right?
Well, you lost the bet. You had to move out here. That was your downfall.
Yeah, but you know what? I honestly did not. I still did not think we were going to get married. And you know, it was just, I don't know. The first year was really, really hard because we're both really stubborn and really, you know, hard headed and everything. And I was like, oh my gosh, I thought we were going to kill each other. And then after that, it just got better. So we're the opposite of most couples where they start out in the honeymoon phase and then things get worse. We clashed right away and then things got better.
Well, I'm glad it worked. I'm glad it was that way because now we know. We already been through all the hard stuff.
Yeah. And I love you.
Yeah. I love you too, baby.
Yeah, and you know, what's strange is we're so different, you know. Austin's an anarchist, and I'm more of a libertarian. And politically, we're different. Spiritually, we both love God, but I follow the Bible and Jesus Christ, and he's kind of got lost along the way. And truth. He's a smoker. I'm a non-smoker. He likes to gamble. I care less. You know, he likes cold weather. I hate it with a passion. Just like everything, so many things that we're opposite on, but there's so many things that we came together. So I'm saying all this for those out there, you know, who are single and just kind of wishing that you had a husband or a wife. And you know what? I wasn't looking, he wasn't looking, and it just happened. You know, and sometimes life is just like that. So don't lose hope. You'll find the right person, even if it doesn't seem like they're the right person at first. You never know.
So, that's a fact.
Yep. That's a fact, Jack. So Brandon, what's your plan?
Well, you know, my huge plan is I just don't keep on flooding Facebook with fake news, just keep terrorizing the site. It is so much fun. I just love making these globalists just like taking my hand and just choke the heck out of them, torturing their butts. It's funny as heck. Also, all those screenshots that you saw, they didn't like it too well. That's making fun of Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, that's what they seem most upset about for whatever reason.
I honestly think that the Illuminati ones Facebook, since they run Facebook, they run in Facebook pages trying to recruit people, get the agenda passed, to get everybody involved into this new world order, getting everybody to join the Illuminati, following through their game plan. That's what I really think, Illuminati.
Of course, they're using the social media. I mean, the social media is heavily infiltrated. Facebook itself is backdoored by the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And these elites actually run pages. Those are actually real elites that I was spamming.
Well, see, a lot of these people that you're debating with are paid agents. What they do is they go in there to either muddy the waters or to recruit other people. And they're
Illuminati.
Using. Yeah, of course they do. Of course they do. I mean, this is a known fact. You know, as a matter of fact, some people believe that I'm getting paid, that I'm controlled opposition. Yeah, we're really living high on the hog, aren't we, Lisa?
I can't help but to laugh.
If anybody knew us, they'd be like, oh yeah, I know. And you know, we have another friend, a close friend, who, you know, he's actually really well known, and there's people out there who have videos saying he's a fake and he's CIA plant and he's getting paid. Oh my gosh, that guy is so broke he can't pay attention.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean that's what I'm saying, I mean, don't get me wrong, thank God for the internet and thank God for alternative media. But there's a lot of manipulation going on in the mainstream media, like with Alex Jones and David Icke, Pete Santilli. Yeah, I'll name them. I'm not scared. I know who controlled opposition are. I know what they're doing. And what they do, like our good friend the Renegade Smith says all the time, they give you a nugget of truth, and then they wrap. The truth is buried, and then they start convoluting it and wrapping it with a bunch of falsehoods.
I felt a small nugget of truth in Mr. Jones. Yeah, he told the truth.
Well,
the NSA can spy on your computers with white bulbs. I said, dang, that's an old fact. That's an Alex, good job of that quote. That was a little bit of truth I pulled out of Alex's mouth. And he's talking about the Antichrist system and how they're going to use this system to plug everybody into a computer, and microchip people and elites are bragging about this and all these articles. I said, Alex, that's the best video you ever done that I ever heard of.
Well, there's no doubt, but believe me, if Alex Jones wasn't controlled, he wouldn't be as big as he is. Same with David Icke. These people really do have a lot of money. That's a fact. These people are multimillionaires. That's a fact.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the truth. It's a fact. They're multimillionaires. And I'm not. I mean, look, I'm not knocking Alex Jones for coming on and selling products. I mean, you know, that is called, you know, capitalism. That's called the market. That's what he does. I just have a problem when people knowingly present falsehoods and lie to sell products. I don't know. I do voluntary transactions. I send people to go look at timeshares. I'm straightforward. I tell them it's a bribe, and I lay out the terms. And if they accept, great. If not, that's cool too. I'm not lying to people. I don't lie to people to get them to, you know, because in essence they voluntarily contract with me. They decide to do what I do, and I make a commission. But I'm not sitting here lying and fear mongering. I'm not telling them, you know, that children are going to be, you know, taken over by the Antichrist if they don't go, you know, look at my at the timeshare that I represent. You understand what I'm saying?
If you don't
Lisa?
Buy InfoWars' products, Antichrist is going to invade. That's a bunch of BS. That's a bunch of Holocaust there.
Where's Lisa?
I agree. I think that, you know, you got to have ethics in what you do. And Austin and I both do. I mean, I actually have a job selling photos for a living and just, you know, part time. And, you know, with that, I feel good about it. I feel ethical. It's nothing that I wouldn't buy myself. It's nothing that I don't believe in. I've seen people's lives change because of photos. I've run into people whose houses have burned down and you know, they're just sad because they lost the photos, or someone died and they're sad because they didn't buy the photos. So I believe in it, you know. And then as far as what Austin does, he's not trying to trick anyone, or, you know, he's just right up front. Hey, here's what I'm doing for a living. I'm bribing you. How would you like to be bribed today?
Right, exactly. And you know, and that's the way it should be. Everything should be out in the open. And that's myself as an anarchist. You know, people ask, well, how can you work for somebody and be an anarchist? And I'm like, well, in reality, I have a company I work for. They give me a location. They give me the materials. They give me the means to make a living. Of course, there's, you know, rules that I have to follow, but I choose to follow these rules to make a pretty good living.
Same here. I'm doing the same thing at Bojangles, but everybody in Bojangles, we don't have a sort of dictatorship telling us what to think, and they do all the things, the bosses do all the thinking for the employees. Our employees always give each other directions what needs to be done. And we all listen to each other's ideas to see which idea is better to get the task done. So everybody can learn from each other instead of having one dictator giving out all the orders. That's what anarchist is really about to me. After you learn how to do everything, and then you continue
doing the next thing. Yeah, people have a misconception. They think that if you're an individualist, that you're selfish and you can't work with others. And, I mean, Lisa will vouch for me. I get along with everyone I work with, don't I, Lisa?
Oh, yeah.
So if I was this
– Oh, yeah.
If I was this – right. If I was this greedy person, how could I be successful? And how you can look out for yourself and your best interests and still be a team player, because a lot of times being a team player serves your self interests, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Nothing. I mean,
right.
there's really nothing. There's nothing wrong with looking out for yourself first. But I mean, if there's a way I can help other people, and I do it all the time, you know, with my career, I show them tips, I help them close deals, because in the long run, that actually aids me. That gives me job security. That makes sure that I have, you know, that our doors are going to be open tomorrow and I'm going to be able to come back to work tomorrow and make commissions. I mean, this isn't rocket science. I just have a problem with, and it's usually the liberals that have a problem with when you call yourself an anarchist, because they're under this this fallacy of the common good, and you know, put you have to put society before yourself, and no, that's not true. You have to put yourself before society, or else you're not going to be in a position to help society. And we lost Lisa again. Look, guys, I'm getting up against it. It's the top of the hour. I'm going to take a quick break here for a few minutes, thank our sponsors, especially our good friends at Damco Transportation. I mean, we really appreciate you guys so much. We'll be back in a few minutes. Stick around.
Well, I pulled out of Pittsburgh, rolling down that eastern seaboard. I got my diesel wound up and he's running like I never before.
Hey folks, this is the Mouse, and if you need something moved, you need to go through Dabco Transportation. Family owned and operated, Dabco Transportation specializes in pad wrap fixtures to retail stores throughout the country, as well as furniture transportation, pad trap and box furniture from California to Arizona to all points east. Be it truckload, LTL, rollout, exclusive use, or expedited, Dabco is here to service their clients safely, efficiently, and quickly. So if you need something moved within the continental U.S., contact Dabco Transportation at 609-296-9121 or contact them directly at dabcotrans.com. That's dabcotrans.com.
But I can never make believe it's all right. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight.
Easy money. Easy money.
Who is getting your money? If you are being hijacked by corruption in your government, you will quickly realize that you are stuck with no way out. Find out how your life, family, and assets can be stolen from you while you are the one paying for it. Join me, Debbie Carroll, at the Fourth Branch, The Truth Emerges, on Blog Talk Radio, Thursday nights from 6 to 8 Pacific Time. We need everyone on board to understand what is happening and put a stop to this evil corruption.
This is indeed a disturbing universe.
Yes, all I'm offering is the truth. On Unraveling the Matrix with me, your host, Austin Thomas. Yeah, we like to mess with the taboo stuff that you're not going to hear or see on the lamestream media. Now that you're awake, be aware. Be aware what's in play. CIA and Mossad banking, money laundering, and international organized crime joint venture. Imagine that.
Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed.
Well, we know how these elections are all on the straight and narrow worldwide.
Unraveling the Matrix with Austin Thomas. Saturday nights, 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on Truth Emergence Radio Network.
I'm hoping that they're listening to us here on Truth Emergence Network.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room.
You can see it when you look out your window, or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled up.
Imagine an alien suddenly dropped into the 21st century America. He goes to a Monday night football game and witnesses thousands of people guzzling a liquid refreshment as fast as vendors can supply it. Observing the spectacle of the game itself, the alien is constantly distracted by fans whose behavior seems to become more and more bizarre. He watches as fights break out between half-naked fans with painted bodies. By the end of the contest, on the playing field, he notes that most of the people around him seem to have lost their ability to walk, and for some reason their speech has changed. Words are less audible. They seem to be talking in slow motion. Once the game is over, he watches the fans stumbling toward their cars, cursing and threatening other fans. Clearly, the alien observes something has caused these fans to have a mind-altering experience. But whatever is going on, it seems to be acceptable behavior for this society, because all the while, many police officers observe the behavior but remain at a distance and don't interfere. The next day, the alien attends a lecture on a college campus. After the lecture, he's invited by some students to a party. At the party, students are sitting around drawing smoke from a bottle-like structure with water in it. The smoke is inhaled into their bodies, the conversation is friendly, calm, and respectful, and music is playing in the background. But all of a sudden, many police officers arrive with guns, grab the water-filled bottle, put handcuffs on everyone in the room, and take them off to jail. The alien is totally confused. Welcome to the United States of America, the land of hypocrisy.
You're listening to Guerrilla Radio with Austin Thomas and Liberty Lisa. Join the second hour by calling 1-347-855-8301.
All right, everybody, back here on Guerrilla Radio, talking about Comey getting fired and a little bit about partisan politics here. And we're talking about, the partisan, the left-right paradigm for what to break, how liberals or people on the left, that they believe in this fallacy called the common good and the social contract, and that you as a person, as an individual, should put the community or the collective or the Borg, what's best for them, before what's best for you. And I just have a problem with that. That whole ideology is not logical by any stretch of the imagination. Well, I'm going to get back into it. We're going to go back. This is from Newsweek. This is another article talking about, this is from the 9th by Julia Glum. This is from Newsweek. 6 reasons why Donald Trump fired James Comey. Just hours after the FBI sent a letter Tuesday to the Senate Judiciary Committee clarifying his testimony in relation to the Hillary Clinton email scandal, FBI Director James Comey was fired. Today, President Donald J. Trump informed FBI Director James Comey and terminated and removed from office, White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer said in a statement. President Trump acted based on the clear recommendations of both Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein and Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Trump's letter terminating Comey quickly leaked online. While I greatly appreciate you informing me on 3 separate occasions that I am not under investigation, I nevertheless concur with the judgment of the Department of Justice that you are not able to effectively lead the Bureau, Trump wrote. It is essential that we find new leadership for the FBI that restores public trust and confidence in its vital law enforcement mission. Here are a few reasons, both stated and possible, Comey may have been canned. He hurt the FBI's reputation. A memorandum prepared by Attorney General Rod Rosenstein recommending Comey's termination kicks off with the fact that over the past year, the FBI's reputation and credibility have suffered substantial damage, and it has affected the entire Department of Justice. He mishandled the Clinton email investigation. Rosenstein writes that Comey should not have given a news conference last July recommending that Clinton, who used a private email server while Secretary of State, not face criminal charges. The Deputy Attorney General writes that Comey should have turned his findings over to federal prosecutors. He also takes issue with Comey's decision to send a letter just days before the November election revealing newly discovered Clinton emails. When federal agents and prosecutors quietly open a criminal investigation, we are not concealing anything. We are simply following the longstanding policy that we refrain from publicizing non-public information, the letter states. Three, he broke with tradition. Rosenstein cites several attorneys, generals, and other authorities who decreed Comey's actions as a departure from the department's widely respected nonpartisan traditions. Rosenstein writes that we should reject the departure and return to the traditions. Number four, Trump doesn't like him. Simply judging from his tweets, the president and Comey have had a rocky relationship. As Axios laid out, Trump first criticized the director online in July after the fateful aforementioned news conference. Trump used the hashtag rigged system. By October, when he was bringing attention to a new cache of Clinton emails, Trump loved him. But in November, when Comey said he hadn't actually found material that justified charges, the pendulum had swung again. You can't review 650,000 new emails in 8 days. You can't do it, folks, Trump said at a rally. Hillary Clinton is guilty. She knows it. The FBI knows it. The people know it. Trump is embarrassed by him. The president recently accused his predecessor, Barack Obama, of wiretapping his phones during the campaign. Comey has shut down this allegation, explaining that Obama could not order a wiretap of anyone's phone unchecked. Okay. I have no information that supports those tweets, and we have looked carefully inside the FBI, Comey said in March. The Department of Justice has asked me to share with you. The answer is the same for the Department of Justice and all its components. The Department has no information that supports those tweets. And then, of course, this is Newsweek. He knows something about Russia. Here we go. The Russians did it. Putin did it. Of course, the elephant in the room is the ongoing investigation into whether people associated with Trump's campaign had contact with Russia during the election. Comey confirmed the probe in March. We approach this work with an open-minded, independent way, and our expert investigators will conclude that work as quickly as they can, but they will always do it well no matter how long it takes, he said. According to the transcript of his remarks, I can promise you we will follow the facts wherever they lead. Clinton's running mate, Tim Kaine, picked up on this after news of Comey's firing Tuesday, tweeting, Trump firing Comey shows how frightened the administration is over the Russian investigation. The Russians did it. It's never going to die. And then we got Liberty Lisa back live again. Hey, Lisa, the Russians are still doing it.
They do everything. They're behind it all.
Of course. Yeah. The Russians did it.
The Russians did it.
The Russians did it. I mean, can we just, again, this ties to this partisan politics. Can we just not? Can the liberals just admit that Hillary was sick, that Hillary was an ineffective candidate, and that Hillary Clinton lost support of the base, and that Hillary Clinton hoodwinked Bernie Sanders out of the nomination? Ties in with this partisan politics. Can these Democrats, these liberals, just admit the facts? It's plain as day.
God, I would just love it if they did. Because this whole Russian thing is so stupid. I mean, literally. It's dumb.
It's so played out.
You know, it's irritating. It's just so irritating.
I just laugh at it anymore.
All along we've laughed at it. It's so irritating. It's so stupid. It's ludicrous. They sound dumb just having it come out of their mouth. You know, there's no evidence. There never was any evidence. And, you know, it sounds like it was a good thing that Trump fired him. Because you know what? Hillary Clinton needs to be, investigated. And that whole thing's fishy.
Well, Donald Trump himself stated that Hillary Clinton's been through enough. His words.
Yeah, well, people change their minds.
Well, if you're Donald Trump, you change your mind 20 times a day. that's what a populist president does, though. He licks his finger, puts it up, twists it around, see which way the wind's blowing for what he's going to say today. That's what populism is all about, is telling people what they want to hear. And I'm going to tell you this. The Trumpster is the greatest populist I've seen in my lifetime in politics. He definitely is. I mean, the guy can straight up tell people, like the drain the swamp was a bunch of bullshit, and the people eat the shit sandwich and want more. I've never seen anything like this.
You know what?
I've never seen anything like this.
It's so refreshing for everyone to hear, you know, that it's fake news. It was so refreshing for everyone to hear that Hillary was a crook. It was so refreshing for everyone to hear the things they were saying. So when he talked about, oh, that was a joke, blah, blah, the people were like, oh, okay, well, you know, I'll take that. I'll take that with everything else he's doing. And I do the same thing. And honestly, I still feel that way. I feel like if he's going to overturn Obamacare, which is a monstrosity, which, by the way, those of you who are backing Obamacare, it's nothing but a tax increase, the largest tax increase in American history. That's what it is. And it's a mandatory tax. You're taxed whether you're on the program or whether you're off the program. The people who are off the program are penalized the worst anyway. So, you know, for those of you who go, oh, Obamacare, oh, I want my Obamacare. Listen, you know, that's a huge burden on everyone else around you. And it's not going to last anyways. It's ineffective. The whole thing was doomed to crash. He lied about keeping your plan. He lied about keeping your doctor. He lied about the cost. Everything was a lie. And the only one who are making out on that at all are the ones on welfare. And it's not sustainable. So get over it. Like, you're going to have to get over it. It's not sustainable. It doesn't work. You have to redo it. And then for the Republicans who are upset because it's not a total repeal, they're being outrageous because you can't take people and give them something and then overnight have nothing. You can't do that either. So there's going to have to be a compromise. You know, everyone just needs to get over it. Get over the fact that Obama lied. Get over the fact that it's not sustainable, that it's going to crash anyways. Just get over it. Accept the facts and have the thing toned back down. You know, I'm not a big fan of government and health care at all, but I am a big fan of having that thing repealed, especially the mandatory tax for people who don't want to participate.
Well, exactly. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you cannot mandate someone purchase something and force them to purchase it.
Yeah,
I mean,
nothing makes me more angry than that. I haven't seen anything in politics make me more angry than that.
Well, that makes me angry too. I mean, it's pretty ridiculous when you're mandated to actually purchase something.
So people are like, oh well, why don't you get on the government, you know, system? Because I don't want to be on the government system. And thank God I'm not. Because once you are, they force you to take medications first before surgeries. They force you to go, you know, do exactly what the doctors say to do. You become like a slave to them. I don't want that over me. And then if I don't want that, then I have to pay, you know, $750 a year? Are you serious right now?
Well, no, that was the first year. It was going to go up to $2,500 after like 5 or 6 years. So, I mean, this is the ludicrous. I mean, like a $2,500 for, I mean, say you're making, see who this really hurts. That this is say you're out working, you're making $15 an hour, okay? You're trying to provide, you're basically making $30,000 a year. You're making too much money to participate in the to get these credits back. But you'd be responsible for giving. Well, I'm going out to the 2,500 range, 7-8% of what you gross for the year in a penalty because you can't afford to pay, and you're in a catch 22 because you're not making enough to pay the exorbitant health care rates because you're not getting any help back. You're not getting any entitlements or handout from the government. So of course the people that are on the dole, so to speak, the welfare, they're all pushing for ACA. You know, people that are on the dole, of course they want more. Give me more. Well, how far does that go, folks? I mean, how many people can keep. You've got 10 people in and you got 20 people pushing the cart. How many people can jump into the cart before you're not going to have enough people to push it and move the cart? This is
right.
Common sense.
I mean, I've heard some people say, there's certain surgeries or certain medications that wouldn't be covered unless I was on Obamacare. Well, you know what? Maybe you shouldn't be jumping so quick into surgeries, and maybe you shouldn't be jumping so quick into medication. I'm just saying, sometimes it's necessary, but most of the time it's not. If you want to talk about, you know, doing a double mastectomy as a preventative thing, that's not necessary. Overkill. You can get rid of cancer naturally. Austin has cancer. He's had it for 6 years. We've never done chemo. We've never done any pills. Nothing. Nothing, no radiation, nothing. He's 6 years in and he's fine. You know, he's a little bit tired and he's, you know,
got some pain once in a while, but he lives a normal life. You don't have to run scrambling out of fear under their authority, under their medication, under their knife. You know, there are natural
right.
cures that you should be looking at first. We've lost our common sense.
Well, and look, and Lisa and myself, I'm not advocating. I mean, if you break your arm or you break your leg, you gotta go get it set. I mean, there's no holistic way to treat that. I mean, what when she's saying things like that, you have to use a little bit of common sense here. We're not advocating, you know, that actual emergencies such as that you can treat holistically. I mean, I wouldn't know how to set my arm or leg and put it in a cast.
Right.
I wouldn't trust myself. I'm going to trust
right.
an orthopedic surgeon to do that. I'm sorry.
Right, and you have to, you know, if you have a organ transplant or something that you have to survive, you know, of course. And if you have to take anti-rejection drugs for that organ, of course, you know, of course, of course, of course. But when you're talking about high cholesterol, sorry, you don't need to take a pill for that. You need to change your diet. You know, I'm so tired of people going, I don't want to change anything. I just want to take a magic pill. It doesn't work. You're poisoning your body. And then you're going to be even worse for the wear. You're going to have liver problems. You're going to be in a mess you can't even crawl out of in the end. Change your diet. Have a little self-discipline. Eat more fruits and vegetables. Buy organic. Stop microwaving. Drink a lot of, you know, distilled or reverse osmosis water. You know, put away the soda pop. Put away the beer. Just, you know, clean up your diet to where you're basically malnourished, and that's usually the reason that people's bodies break down in the first place. Get your you know, nutrient level up to where it is so your body can fight disease and function at a normal level. I've seen people get cured of cancer, get cured of diabetes, get cured of blood pressure problems, get on and on and on and on. You want to thin your blood? You can do it with food. You want to, you know, lower your blood pressure? You can do it with your food. You want to lower your cholesterol? No problem. Do it with food. Literally, it's that easy. And literally, if you go on like a Gerson therapy or a juice fast for like 30 days, pretty much any disease that you have, pretty much for the most part, can be gone in 30 days if you do nothing but juicing for a month. So, you know, honestly, you know, it's a lot of it's just laziness and excuses and fear. And, you know, we need to take the power back over our lives, over our bodies. Go back to what's natural. Go back to what God created. He created all these seeds and plants and trees with all these wonderful powers to it. And our bodies are amazing, and they can heal if you feed them properly. So, you know, anyway, I just want to say that, you know, part of the reason we're so dependent on Obamacare, you know, so many people are so dependent on it is because they have given themselves over to the medical mafia. They've just willingly put themselves up on the sacrificial table. That's the way I see it. Take back control. Get yourself in gear. If you need any help or assistance doing that, if you need advice, I am here for you at any time. You can reach me on Facebook. I'm Lisa Thomas. And I'd be glad to, you know, teach you things and get you on the right path. I promise you, pretty much most diseases you can take care of nutritionally. Most, not all, most. You know, there are some things where, you know, it's an emergency and you have to have a surgery or something, and of course, do it then. But you know, you could
right.
go in and advocate. You can get a cash price. You know, if you don't have to pay $750 a year as a tax penalty, you could have that in a savings account. And $750 would pay, you know, for $7,500, you know, day at the hospital, because they only, cash price is usually about 10%. So you can go in, they'll say, what's the price? Oh, it's $10,000. Great. What's cash price? Oh, yeah, it's $1,000. No problem. Here's a check.
Yeah,
bam,
they,
done.
They, and they will negotiate with you. They really will.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's not the high cost of health care is because we're all having the insurance companies pay it instead of negotiating it ourselves. And there's other things, too. There's, like, these Christian programs out there where everybody's – it's a group pay thing. Everybody pays in a monthly amount. And then when we're sick, you know, you just – you let them know, I need this surgery, I need this whatever. And then the whole – it's paid for just like insurance, but it's not insurance. It's a group pay. There's so many – positive solutions out there.
Wait, are you actually talking about people voluntarily cooperating amongst each other and trying to cut the government out of something?
Yeah.
But we need this government thing to coerce and threaten us with violence to pay into it. You know, so they can distribute the money how they see fit instead of how we see fit.
There are some things that and this is where you and I differ. I believe there are some things that should be handled by the government or a governing authority. Okay, now, however that works, you can have a town set up a governing authority that's over the roads and over the sewage. That those sort of things, everyone needs it, everyone uses it. I don't personally want to go through an anarchist society where there's a toll on every road. Oh, well, we as a private company paid for this road, so now you owe $1 for going down the street. And then all the roads, come on. No, I don't want to live like that. I don't want to always have, you know, dollars that I'm passing out just to drive down the road. I think there's better ways.
Hold on. This reminds me. I just wrote this today. The modern definition of anarchy is an intentionally bastardized interpretation of the original etymological word anarchon or anarchos. Simply put, it means without ruler or without rulers. The more people study the principles of liberty and what generates, propagates, puts into action, and maintains liberty, freedom, and natural law, the more we'll realize that government is an anathema to liberty, freedom, and natural law. Modern government is primarily interested in theft of property through compulsion. Regardless of whether or not you know where the money you hand over through taxes goes, and whether or not you use the infrastructure or social services they provide, if you are not giving a choice to voluntarily contribute that money, you are being robbed. The government doesn't trust communities to take care of themselves and their own. But the greatest theft of government is that of the self-monarchy, that is, the free human individual. That is equivalent to slavery by proxy. Big wife.
Did you go to a commercial break yet?
You already did the commercial break, honey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did it. I did it top of the hour. Yeah, I even played my favorite Jesse Ventura clip that we have. You know, the one one about the people drinking at the football game, and then the students smoking pot, getting arrested violently. man, society's messed up. Honey, I want to take a quick 5 minutes. I want to play the Judge Napolitano, The Right to Be Left Alone. I really like this one. Is that okay with you, boss?
I think that's a great idea, Pookie.
All right. This put aside partisan politics, whether you're on the left or on the right, you have to believe you have a right to be left alone. I'm going to leave you hot because I'm going to go outside and smoke. So if you want to mute your phone, you can, baby.
Okay, honey.
colonists and were governed by the British King and Parliament. They devised ingenious means to tax us. One of the most hateful was the Stamp Act. It required that every person in the colonies buy a stamp that bore the image of the king and affix that stamp to every piece of paper in his possession. Question: how did the king know if every colonist was complying with the Stamp Act? Answer: the Townshend Act. This abominable law authorized British soldiers to write their own search warrants. Thus, British soldiers knocked on the doors of the colonists' homes and handed them warrants in which they had authorized themselves to enter, ostensibly to look for the stamps. They entered wherever they wanted, and they took whatever they wished. The colonists were so outraged at these self-written search warrants that Parliament actually rescinded the laws that permitted them. But the offenses to personal dignity and the assaults on private property were too deep. We fought a bloody revolution against the government that did this to us. After we won that revolution, we wrote a constitution to assure that these abuses would not happen again. And to that constitution, we added a Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights guaranteed that the government could not on its own assault your natural rights. Among them, that quintessentially American right, the right to be left alone. Today we call this right the right to privacy. The Fourth Amendment requires that the government, before the government can assault your right to privacy and search your possessions, come onto your property, listen to your phone calls, read your mail, monitor your keystrokes on your computer, or even obtain records about you from other sources like doctors, banks, or lawyers, it must present evidence of criminal behavior on your part under oath to a judge. And only if the judge accepts that evidence, and only if the judge issues a search warrant, may the government legally seek and seize whatever is specifically described in the warrant. No more government knocking on doors in the middle of the night and taking whatever it wished. Regrettably, the federal government has labored mightily to get around all this. Even though every person who works for the government has taken an oath to uphold the Constitution, many of them seem to spend more time avoiding and evading it. In the days after 9/11, Congress enacted the Patriot Act, an abominable piece of legislation which permits federal agents to write their own search warrants. With the Patriot Act, we have come full circle from the days in which a king unleashed soldiers upon us on their own to the present day in which our elected representatives have unleashed federal agents upon us on their own, all in utter disregard for our natural right to be left alone and the constitutional requirements of a judicially issued search warrant. The Patriot Act, perpetrated by a Republican president and Congress, was and is one of the gravest legislative assaults on human freedom. It was harshly criticized at the time by a young Democratic senator from Illinois named Barack Obama. But freedom must look very different from inside the White House than from outside. This morning we learned from the front page of the Wall Street Journal that the Obama Justice Department, without obtaining search warrants, has been using a computer program called Stingray, which manipulates your cell phone to enable the government to follow you whenever the phone is with you. And last month, the Obama Justice Department told the Supreme Court that it has been installing GPS systems on the cars of those without cell phones so it can follow them. And last spring, the Obama Justice Department persuaded the court to let cops break down doors without a search warrant on the basis of what they think they smell from coming behind the doors. And somehow it claims that the Fourth Amendment is no obstacle to all this. What's going on here? Is this really America in 2011, or is it East Germany in 1961? Would the government prefer to watch all of us, to seize our computer records, to listen to our conversations, to break down our doors whenever it wished, without following the Constitution? Yes, it would. Power by nature expands. That's why we have a Constitution, to restrain governmental power. Who would want to live in a society where the government was unrestrained? Have we fought wars against totalitarian governments only to find that we have elected one here at home? Did you even know that the federal government may be using your cell phone to follow you wherever you go? Have we become a nation of sheep? Sadly, the answers to these questions are obvious.
Obvious indeed. Obvious indeed. Lovely Liberty Lisa Thomas is going to bow out. I'm going to wrap up the show here in a few minutes. I just wanted to play that. Even though I am not a constitutionalist, I used to be, that still rings true. And that doesn't sway whether you have a D or an R in the White House. The same thing is in place. I'm going to refer back, and if you don't believe me, you can check it out on YouTube. At the White House, just after President Trump was elected and in office, he had a meeting with a bunch of deputies from around the country. And one of them questioned Trump. Still trying to get used to President Trump. But President Trump, this one deputy stated to him that we're having a problem with asset forfeiture, and this is a tool we're using to stop drug dealers. And it's really not. It's a tool, billions of dollars from people through asset forfeiture, where they claim your money or property is guilty until proven innocent. And you have to prove that your money was legally gained. Not that they have to prove that the money was gotten by illegal means to seize it. They seize it and they flip the script on you, and you have to prove that you gain that money through legal means. So the first thing Obama said, what do you guys need from me? Do you need me to sign an executive order? So the first thing out of his mouth was an executive order for more power for police officers, agents of the state. They don't work for you. They're not bound to serve and protect. They're bound as agents of the state, and you can look up, there's three different Supreme Court decisions that back what I'm stating. So first thing out of his mouth is, what can I do to give you more power, to give the police state more power? This is the conundrum that we're in. And it's really sad and it's really scary. And then you're going to have the people on the right, the conservatives. They're going, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, you shouldn't have anything to worry about. You do have something to worry about. When police can take your money, take your property, not even charge you, without even charging you, they can do these things. Take your property, and it's up to you to prove that you've got that money from what they consider legitimate means. Think about that. That's really, really, really scary. That scares me. And I'm not here to fearmonger. I'm here to just lay out the facts. And everything that was brought up on the show about Comey, about him being fired, about these partisan politics. Links are in the show promo. You can investigate on your own. If you don't believe what I just stated about what Trump said and what these police chiefs trying to gain more power to seize more assets. They want to take your property, people, even need a reason. Suspicion. What is that? I can suspect anyone of anything. If I don't have actual evidence to act, isn't that a totalitarian state? Isn't that a police state? I thought we lived in the land of the free and the home of the brave. I thought we had a constitution that protected us against these things, that's supposed to limit government. But what happens when people that write the laws are above the laws? what happens when people are have really they look to a piece of paper. What happens if the piece of paper is worthless? A piece of paper doesn't give you rights. The government doesn't give you rights. They're yours. They're God-given. They're yours from being a living, breathing, sentient human being. And if you don't believe in God, they're from the universe. They're from you being a living being. The government doesn't give them to you. A piece of paper doesn't give them to you. They're yours. And what have we come to when in the United States of America, when you have nothing, you have nothing against the government. The government does as it pleases. Just like Judge Napolitano was talking about the Stamp Act. And back in the day, how agents of the British Crown could write their own search warrants. It's worse now. It's worse. You have the NSA, the FBI, the CIA, that have all these means to access your personal data. They don't even need a search warrant anymore. They just do it. They just do it. I don't know what it's going to take for people to wake up and smell the coffee, so to speak. I don't know what it's going to take. This is not a Democratic issue. This is not a Republican issue. This is not a conservative or a liberal issue. This is a human being issue. This is a individual issue. I mean, even if you're the staunchest collectivist, progressive thinking liberal, it's still your individual decision to be part of the Borg or the collective. Just going to let you think about that. We're going to wrap it up. I want to thank Brandon Pettit for calling in. My beautiful wife, lovely Liberty Lisa. I love that woman to death, even though she drives me nuts half the time. Thank you guys, the listeners. We really appreciate you guys out there. I'm going to shut this one down about 15 minutes early. I'll be back Saturday Unraveling the Matrix, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time this Saturday. And tomorrow you have Debbie Carroll, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, with the Fourth Branch, talking about your rights and your liberty and how you can fight the system. God, I love that woman. Till then, guys, deuces, peace out. Mad love. Thanks for listening. We appreciate everybody here. Bye-bye now.